Hello, you are tuned into the Meaning of Budget podcast, where we dive into various topics in hope of encouraging you in your financial journey. My name is Jake Rusey, joined by my co-host Derek Ween, and shout out to Hannah for this phrase, another day, another dollar. Let's dive in. Hello, and welcome to podcast number 4, The Why of Fi. Yeah. And Derek is mad at me because I made him answer some really deep questions this morning, and he was not prepared for that.
He did. It was like on the spot. It's like, Derek, what's the meaning of life?
We are getting started. We're getting deep. Not really deep, but we wanted to talk about your purpose in life and why you would want to pursue FI. Now, what is FI? I think you summed it pretty well earlier. What did you say about FI?
FI stands for financial independence. And the idea behind FI is when your passive income surpasses your expenses. So what that means is when you make enough money, either through your investments or through other things that are not your active daily job, that it covers your monthly expenses, then you're financially independent. You technically don't have to work your job anymore.
Which sounds nice. I don't have to work anymore.
Yeah.
I think one of the first things when I was looking into budgeting was this movement called FIRE. And the full FIRE acronym stands for Financial Independence Retire Early. And so I think that's where I kind of draw the line. I don't see myself as somebody ever fully retiring. But I do want to pursue financial independence so I don't have to worry about, working in the future, I guess. So I like the first two letters of FI. I'm not necessarily a FIRE person, but when people do, pursue retiring early, some of these people will, save like 90% of their income. Which is amazing. Like,
yeah.
I don't do that. Maybe Derek does. I don't know. but
I don't.
I don't think that lifestyle is for everyone. But I think if you do enjoy that pursuit and you do want to retire early, I think you would have to also enjoy the journey as part of that, and like being a minimalist and being frugal to the extreme. So that is fun. I think that's not for me. Could be for you, Derek. I don't know.
I think, yeah, it's definitely a balance. Like we talked about in our first episode with our mindsets of money, we talked about how budgeting is both living well now and living well in the future. So I think it depends kind of on your personality, is what you think living well now is versus living well in the future is, or where you want to, I guess, live better. Like if you want to save really aggressively now for the day when you're able to basically quit your 9-to-5 job, because you hate your job and it seems like a great way to get out of your 9-to-5 job, so you're willing to go through the aggressive saving and not spending as much and eating at home more, and kind of getting out of the American buying things mindset in order to get out of, you know, having to work your 9-to-5 job.
Actively avoiding all advertising.
Yeah.
Don't live without your eyes open. Don't listen to any radio. No, I think it's important to know, like, I don't know where life will lead me in 10 years. I think a lot of people don't know what life will happen in 1 year from now. So our future is indeterminate. And I think the kind of pursuit of financial independence is the goal of protecting yourself from an unknown future. So I think, at least for me, that helps add to my goals of why I would want to pursue financial independence. I think there's questions that we can ask that help frame these. So like, what would you do if all of your living expenses were covered? I think most of us would answer that question by saying they wouldn't be in the job that they are in currently. But I don't know, maybe, hopefully you do enjoy your job. I think most jobs out there are not innate to what we would be wanting to do to help humanity out, or to, I guess, further our own goals or be with our family more. Jobs kind of get in the way of those things typically. And we just really use jobs as like a means to an end to provide money for our lives. So that's kind of why I think retiring early is a goal that people do kind of strive for. But if you do find a job or have a lifestyle where you are enjoying your work, I don't think retiring early or retiring ever is something that's necessary. But yeah, I think answering that question, what would you do if all of your living expenses were covered, helps that. And then I think another question that we can ask is like, if you didn't, like, what things would happen in your life, or what would you change in your life if you didn't have to worry about money? So if you could cover like your family's medical bills, or like provide traveling for all your grandkids, or like what kind of things or reasons why you might start saving or changing your life so that you can save more to become financially independent. So I have a list of reasons that I kind of came up with and thought that people might be interested in pursuing financial independence. Derek, you want to read a few of them and that stand out to you, and we can talk about them?
Sure. I haven't read this list before, so confession. But I like this one. You have number one here: quit working a job that you're not enjoying. I think that's a great, I think something that, I don't know, when you were a kid, you were always asked, like, what's your dream job, or what do you want to do when you grow up? And maybe your answer isn't the same as what you actually ended up getting, you know, what job you're actually doing. I said I wanted to be an astronaut. Clearly, I'm not an astronaut, but
not too late.
It's not too late. I can go join Elon Musk. I can get out there.
I wanted to design rocket ships too.
That would have been fun.
And then my freshman year, I accidentally walked into an aerospace engineering class and was way over my head. And then, yeah, I didn't want to design rocket ships after that.
Yeah. I thought being an astronaut would be really cool until I went to Space Center Houston and I saw like how hard life is in space. And I was like, maybe not. Maybe not.
You could last 100 days up there.
Maybe so. But anyway, yeah, maybe your job's not your favorite thing in the world. And, you know, it's fun to think about like, oh, if I was financially independent, what would my dream job be? Maybe you'd want to create art or travel or spend more time with loved ones. Maybe you'd love to have more flexibility in your schedule so that you don't have to go to the normal 9 to 5 and sit through the traffic every day. I think that's a big reason actually why Jake and I started freelancing on the side, or not on the side, as our full-time job.
Yeah, I think when I was coming up with this list, I was also thinking, like, you don't have to do these things only when you are financially independent. Some of these things are things that you can do now. You can always be designing your lifestyle around, I guess, your goals in life. And so for me, I was not enjoying working in an office and not having a flexible schedule. And so I did take the leap. And Derek and I are developers and had clients lined up already, so it was easy for us to do that. But for some people, it might take having side hustles that they turn into businesses, or just having enough money saved up to where they can work on something that does provide an alternative lifestyle for them. So yeah, I think there's different ways to get to your goals. And I think always just pushing towards financial independence and saving for the future will help keep a peace of mind as you're reaching for those goals. So yeah, if you want to read the full list, those will be in my blog post and the show notes that I have for this. I think one other one that I wanted to highlight for us is Derek and I also want to spend more time doing ministry, and that's something that I think we can do now, but also something that if we didn't have to work, that we might be interested in doing full time. So that's just one I wanted to highlight there. Okay, so now for the questions that I alluded to earlier about like how to find your why. And so I was looking at resources for how to frame your purpose in life or how to find your why and why that you would want to start saving more to follow in this purpose. And an article that Forbes had actually, so it was a financial article, had four questions to help frame this. And we both answered these. We'll talk about them. I think they go
attempted to answer.
Yeah, they go a lot deeper, and they can also change. I think that's something that we were both struggling with. Like, we're still technically pretty young, have a lot of life left to look forward to. So how do we really know how to answer these? And so we'll each take turns answering. I'll answer the first one first, and then you can go. So the first question is, what makes you come alive? And I was thinking about kind of my time in college when I was around a bunch of people in leadership programs, and we would always form these teams to work on a good cause or a class project or something. And I think those were the times where I just truly enjoyed being a part of something and contributing to a group, just having a shared purpose. I think that can be, whether it's like just a small project or a startup, or even just like being around family. I think family oftentimes has a pretty shared purpose, even if it is just to love each other as family. So I think just being around people that have these shared purposes and kind of pursuing a goal together with those, that's kind of when I feel like I am coming alive. Okay, Derek, what about for you?
Yeah, I can see that in you too. You definitely come alive when you're leading group things or hanging out with family. I can see that a lot. Well, I think about, I guess going back, you went back to college. I'll go back even further than that. I grew up doing Boy Scouts. I was really big into it back in the day. And so I learned to love spending time outdoors and love spending time with people. And so I think
we're both extroverts.
We're both extroverts. Yeah. I love spending time and hanging out with people and being outside. And so I think, yeah, that's part of what makes me come alive. I just love building community. I love that we've slowly got started with our little Lambda Curry business, our freelancing business, that we're starting to add new people into our little company and helping them. And yeah, so I guess those are some of the things I think that help me come alive. Here, I'll answer the second question first. So then a second question. Yeah, real light questions here. What are your innate strengths? So this one's maybe a little easier, but personally, I think I, as far as business is related, I think I'm good at software engineering. I think I'm good at solving problems. I think that's what's, you know, helped grow my career. I also think, though, that when it comes, at least in the terms of money, my parents were always very frugal growing up, maybe a lot because of my dad, but we were always pretty frugal because there were four of us and we had to be, but they just understood the value of money and that we don't want things to own us in our pursuit of owning more things. And so I think I've always naturally been a saver, and maybe as I've grown older, more of a minimalist. Actually, I never thought I'd be that. So I think that when I found financial independence and this idea of, oh, you save up, you know, if, and so for one day in the future, that like naturally fit into my worldview of, oh yeah, I'm already naturally a saver. I'm already naturally frugal. Oh, this makes sense. So What about you, Jake? What do you think are your
strengths? I like the idea of minimalism, but if you look at my house right now, it would not be considered a minimalist.
Jake's house is much nicer than mine.
What
are your innate
strengths? My innate strengths. Okay. So I said front-end development, but I was mostly joking. Like, that's a skill that I have practice on. I don't know if that counts as an innate strength. But thinking more about kind of spiritual gifts and kind of strength finders and things that I've taken over the years, one theme has always been around business administration. And I don't know if I've actually practiced this too much outside of just entrepreneurial stuff or maybe in group projects, but it's something that I could see myself doing more of in the future. Having the ability to organize things and people around making something happen is kind of how I summarize that. So I think just being able to do the more administrative business admin tasks and helping people be organized is kind of an innate thing that I have. That's really the only one I came up with. I hope I have more innate strengths. But I couldn't really, that's a difficult one to think about when you get down to it, is like, what are you good at naturally? It's like, I don't know.
Well, I think you could definitely add on there that you're a starter. You like to start things, start new things, especially things that push me out of my comfort zone. So, even in doing this podcast, so.
Sometimes I don't find that as a strength though, because you're always wanting to start new things. And I am focusing right now on definitely avoiding starting too many new things and wanting to pursue keeping going on the things that we have started. So I'm trying to shift away from that being a strength. But yeah, I guess I do enjoy coming up with ideas and always thinking about possibilities for things.
Yeah, and doing it, not letting your fear hold you back. So,
okay, I'll do number three. Where do you add the greatest value? This is a very difficult question. Still learning about myself in this. I think knowing how to value yourself and where you can place that is important. I think for me, I enjoy being an entrepreneur and I enjoy spending time with family. So business and family are kind of my two, I guess, values, and how I add value there is something I'm still trying to figure out. I do look up to my grandparents for this. They are very valuable in all of our grandkids' lives and their kids' lives. And they were able to provide a lot of opportunities for our family to spend time traveling or spending time at a cabin at a lake. And they were able to do this because they did achieve financial independence. And so when I think about where I can add value, is like, if I'm pursuing financial independence, I'm really looking forward to being able to do that for my grandkids or my kids, just being able to travel with them and just help them, I guess, throughout life and encourage them to grow as my grandparents encouraged me. So another thing that I look up to them for is they do a lot of traveling to rural communities and helping the churches in those areas. And I don't think I'm very passionate about rural churches necessarily, but I think maybe running some kind of nonprofit or philanthropic company would be a way that I could add value in the future. So that's kind of my short answer to that. I don't think that really answered how, but more of maybe like what I'm wanting to do to add value. So, okay, what about for you, Derek?
Yeah, it's a really difficult question, trying to determine what are the greatest things where I add value. I think in our business, I think sometimes I can be a little bit of a workhorse in the fact that I can just sit down and get a ton of stuff done and I don't know, not get distracted. I think if I have enough coffee, I can just work all day and night if we have to get something done. But I don't know. I'm not exactly always proud of that.
If you have enough coffee.
Yeah, yeah. If I have enough coffee, yeah. Because I don't want to just be a workaholic with my life. I think I have an almost, it's kind of weird. I have an almost moral obligation to be consistent and to stick to the things that I say I'm going to do. I have a really hard time breaking commitments. And so I think that's one place where I can add value, is just being consistent in my church community, always showing up, being consistent in my friendships, and in our business.
And that's part of why you didn't want to answer these questions so deeply, because you felt like you were going to have to commit to them.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But thankfully, life can change and we can not have to stick to these answers, and maybe we'll do another podcast in like 10 years and see how that turned out.
Or even 1 year, I feel like it'll be different, but yeah. Okay, and I'll answer the last one first. And so another easy one. How will you measure your life?
How are you going to measure?
How am I going to measure my life? Wow. So I guess I think I measure my life, because I'm an extrovert and I love people. I think I measure my life by the quality and sometimes quantity of my relationships, and how well I'm, I guess, relating with people and, you know, helping people, the best that I can. I think one day I hope to have a family, and I hope to hopefully have a really healthy and happy family, and use my gifts and abilities, to help others. I hope that at the end of my life, I can look back and say, you know, I didn't just do everything for myself. I wasn't just growing all this money for myself, but that I wanted to, that I gave my gifts and abilities to others. So
for me, I was thinking about something I heard recently about how as people get older, they tend to change what they value, and how they start to look more at the relationships in their lives rather than what they are accomplishing. And I think this has really stuck with me, because I often feel like I want to be accomplishing more, I guess, and being more successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have been measuring my life by achievements rather than relationships. But I'm kind of wanting that to change. I think relationships, I mean, as people, as humans, I think God designed us to be more relational and more community driven. So I think changing that mindset, instead of like looking at, okay, I've been able to do this much in my life, and looking at, okay, these are the people in my life and these are the relationships that I have. I think that'll be really, I think, instrumental into kind of changing my mindset on how I value or how I measure my life. And hopefully be a little bit more of a healthy mindset rather than always having to try to achieve something or do something bigger and better. I can look at kind of the people, my wife and my sister and my parents, and kind of those family relationships that I have, and how often I'm spending time with them, but then also like the friends and the people that I'm impacting, and how much I can hang out with them and spend time with them and grow in that community. So yeah, I think that's been an important shift in my thinking recently.
Mm. Yeah. It's good. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see how these these questions change over time. I think the value here in answering these questions isn't necessarily to have a perfect answer, as Jake has helped me understand, but to at least be thinking about it, so that, you know, if you were to ever reach this 5 point, you leave your job, you're not lost on your identity, and knowing what you're going to do with the rest of your life. I think it's good to think after the work life, so that you're not lost when you actually reach this point, if you do.
And important to always realize that it's not a destination thing. So it's not something that okay, when I get there, this is going to be what I'm focused on. But as I'm getting there, this is what I'm building my life around so that I can continue that when I get there. At least that's kind of my thinking, is that it would be dangerous if you're always pursuing Phi and then never getting to do the things that are important to you.
Yeah.
So, but I think in pursuing Phi, it is important because you'll just have so much peace of mind and like being able to do more of what is important to you. So I wanted to talk about kind of the first steps for people who are kind of new to this. Yeah. We talked about what Phi is. We didn't really talk about kind of how to get there. And there's a lot of really good resources about that. Like Choose Phi is one of the most popular ones. There's Bigger Pockets Money. I don't know if they're Phi specific, but they're personal finance. Another personal finance blog that we enjoy are the Successfully Simple Sisters. And then another, I think, Phi specific one is Mr. Money Mustache.
Yeah.
He has a really interesting following, and he's one of the more extreme ones that, and has a really good blog on how to go all out if you're pursuing fire. I think those four, we'll have those in the show notes in the blog if you're interested in reading those. Those four have been kind of instrumental for me and for us, I guess, mm-hmm. as we've been building budgets and building out what we're doing here. So those are kind of the resources. But there's also, I think, three steps that we basically are fundamental to your first steps of this journey. And I think they're pretty universal. I think most people agree that these are the first steps that you should take. And so number one is saving $1,000 for an emergency. So Derek, why would I want to save $1,000 for an emergency?
For an emergency. So I can think of plenty of examples, but it's always good to have some savings in case of, you know, if your car breaks down or something happens, that you're not having to rely on credit or rely on debt or rely on others to cover that. So it's definitely a good thing to save $1,000 for an emergency.
How quickly should I save $1,000 for an emergency?
Like right now. Everybody should have at least $1,000. We hope that you have at least that much money in an emergency fund. Or we hope that you at least attempt to get there, because yeah. It's really freeing to know, okay, I have some space here. If something happens in my life, I'm not going to be like having to borrow or beg to cover that.
I think once you do achieve that first step of saving $1,000, that's when you start to begin to realize like, okay, I can do this. I've set this aside for the future. Like it's in a glass box. I'm only going to get it. It's not for something that I'm going to like take out if I need to go out for drinks with friends. This is something that I'm saving for if my car breaks down or if something in my house needs fixing, and like I need to do that so it can continue my my quality of life, that I need to have a car, or I need to have air conditioning yeah. in Texas, or something that is really vital to living. So I think once you can achieve that, then you start realizing, okay, now I can do more. And so what is the next step?
The next step, is to get out of debt if you have debt. So
how quickly should I get out of debt, Derek?
I would say as fast as possible. So I think Jake and I have learned a lot about debt as we've been going along our budgets journey. And debt is just can really pin you down when it comes to your finances. It's really easy to acquire debt. Everybody in the world wants you to take some debt from them. Credit card companies,
yeah,
banks.
How often do you get in the mail a credit card offer?
Oh like, my gosh.
Every like, day.
Yeah. At least once a week I get another credit card offer. And everyone wants you to have debt because then you have to pay them a lot of extra. We definitely recommend that you get out of debt as fast as possible. And there are We know that for some people out there, like maybe the debt seems like more than they could handle. So we wanted to, there are a couple different strategies that we recommend for getting out of debt. There's one called the snowball, and there's one called the avalanche.
Yeah. Snowball, Dave Ramsey kind of coined, and his strategy for this is to pay off your smallest amount loan first. And so, and by doing that, you'll be able to take that amount of money that you were putting in monthly towards that loan and then put it on top of the next biggest loan. And so each step of the way, you're kind of what you're putting towards your payments gets larger and larger until, or even if you're paying the same amount, you're tackling each debt that you have at a larger amount. And so it kind of traction gains for each of those debts and starts rolling faster and faster as you pay off each of your debt in order. Some people really like this strategy because it helps them see them getting rid of a debt that they have quicker. Some people prefer the avalanche version because it technically saves you saves you
more money,
a little bit more money. So the strategy there would be you're putting as much money as you can towards your highest APR loan. So whichever loan that is charging you the most money, and oftentimes that actually is maybe your small, hopefully your smallest loan. Yeah. If it's not, then you should definitely consider the avalanche method. But yeah, whichever one has your highest interest rate, you tackle first.
Because it's the one that's making your money, in essence, bleed faster. You're having to pay more on it for every month that you don't pay it off.
So the disadvantage to this one is that like you don't necessarily see you paying off debt or certain loans that you have faster. But if you take a holistic approach, it is the fastest way to pay down your debt, looking at it, your debt as a whole. So, and ideally, like maybe your debt is in the same order. So you could be both doing snowball and avalanche. I don't think it really matters your strategy though, as long as you have a strategy and as long as you are committed to tackling, your debt as fast as possible. I mean, it might not be obvious for some people, how much the interest rates cut into your income, but it is definitely an effect that can just take away, it's just a long-term hindrance of your financial situation, having that interest eat away from your expenses or your income.
Mm-hmm. It's just slowly draining some of your spending power every month, some of your money every month. So, we definitely recommend getting rid of debt as soon as you can. And, we'll have more, we'll put something in the show notes about the difference between the debt avalanche and snowball if you want to learn more.
So step number three, the first two steps are things that you needed to get done as fast as possible. I think once you achieve these, then you will just have such more confidence and peace of mind. I know I did when I first saved my $1,000, like, wow, I've got a lot of money now, but then it's not money to spend, like that's money to have. And then it became nice to like see that number go up that I had. Just available in case I needed it. So number three is building a lifestyle where you can live within your means. And I think in America, especially, we live in this society that's very commercial. The lifestyle creeps up. And we have, according to a CNBC article, it says nearly one in three American workers will run out of cash before the payday comes in.
And that's across all income levels.
Yeah, that's whether or not you make, you know, very minimum wage or $100,000 a year. Because typically what happens is when you are earning more, you let your lifestyle become a little bit larger. Or a lot larger. Mm-hmm. And I know I've done that in my life. And I think it's difficult to combat because we do have these societal pressures of wanting to own nicer cars or go out with friends more. I mean, there's a lot of lifestyle things that are expensive because we do live in this money-driven society. So I think by building a lifestyle around living within your means, and we talked about that last podcast, is a way that you can find that balance of saving for the preparing for the future and not spending too much now.
Yeah.
And that's what we have for podcast number 4, The Why of Fi. Thank you for listening to us ramble about our meaningful life questions. And hopefully you have learned something to take away for kind of your purpose of why you would want to start your financial journey towards financial independence. I think we will continue doing financial independence podcasts, but I think they won't always be about financial independence. We're more kind of holistic personal finance approach. But yeah, if you are interested in learning more, please subscribe. You can download our app for creating your own budget at budgets.money. We have a blog at blog.budgets.money. And you can always email us at support@budgets.money. So feel free to reach out. We have Twitter, Instagram, all the cool things, Facebook, like us, follow. LinkedIn. Yeah, LinkedIn. We don't use the LinkedIn yet, but we have one. So yeah, thanks for listening, and have a good week and enjoy budgeting.
See ya.